Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and how are you? I am excited about today. And we, you know, have been having some technical glitches. I hope you're hearing us, Blog Talk Radio. We need you to fix these glitches coming in because it has us late. So I'm not going to hold up bringing on our co-host today, Mr. Jay Moroder. And how are you, Jay?
Hey, how's it going out there, everyone? I'm doing great out here in San Francisco, and we're having a great weather this weekend. It's supposed to be 95, so it's been overcast for the last couple of weeks, but we're back and having wonderful weather.
Well, you know, Jay, today I am really, really excited about today's show because we are doing a special on Nelson Mandela. We purposely didn't do it on Nelson Mandela's birthday this week, and we'll tell you why. Nelson Mandela and his legacy for the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, 46664, his other foundation, should not just be spoken on the day of, as he's affectionately known in South Africa, as Mandela. It shouldn't just, we don't want to just celebrate it, because Nelson Mandela, like Gandhi, like Mother Teresa, like Martin Luther King, has left a legacy not just to be celebrated on those days, but to celebrate it throughout the year, each and every day, with each person that we come into contact with, okay? So it's so important that you be with us today. We have Devendri Pillay from the Brahma Kumaris University back with us again this week after her special event at the United Nations on Wednesday, which we had the opportunity, to be very much a part of. So with that said, we are truly looking forward to getting right into that shortly. And until then, Jay's got a few top stories of the day that he's going to share with us. Jay, you have three stories for the day that you're going to share with us right now. Would you do so?
Yes, I will do so. And I would like to know, like, Jay, how many of you guys would like to have faster downloads and be able to do pretty much real TV things on your internet, which you won't even have to use the cable side of your box. You could just use the internet side of your box, and you could do everything on there. With the new expectations of these new smart TVs, the internet has to become faster. So what's going on is Comcast is reportedly prepping a 305 megabytes per second internet service. They're in direct competition with Verizon, and Verizon has announced a 300 megabytes per per second in that service. So right now, everything is around, you know, like 50. So this will be like six times faster by the end of the year. And it's going to be so much fun for people who like to play games and like to download movies. And it's just out of this world. So Comcast is getting ready to do this great thing, and Verizon is right behind them, and the internet is going to become much faster.
Wow, that's amazing, Jay. Is there anything? I know you have some other good news as well.
Oh, yes, we have some wonderful news coming to us from the colleges. Colleges in computer science is enjoying popularity boosts in some of the colleges around our country. A lot of the students now are loving to enroll in classes teaching computer science. One of the schools out here in California is Stanford University. They're one of the top schools in the nation, and they're saying that most of the kids are coming in, enrolling, and they can't keep them out the school doors. They're just enrolling in computer science, and this is great because a lot of the kids want to be scientists, and I'm glad that America is starting to take a good role in the worldwide in leading education, and this is great that the kids are enrolling in computer science. So I just wanted to give a hands up. We can bring America back to number one in education again, and we continue down this path.
But I think in order for us to bring back America down this path, Jay, it must say that America needs to partner up with other countries as well. I think that's important too. What do you say that?
Yeah, that's, That's absolutely right, because we, you know, it's a global world now. We can't just think of us, and you're absolutely correct, Jill. We definitely need to partnership up with other countries, because other countries have great ideas too, and by us putting out two heads, always better than one. So you're absolutely correct. We need to do that a lot more too, and not be so self-centered, and start working along with the other continents and countries, and teach the world.
That's so cool. So I know you had another special story for us, and then we have Devendre Pillay, who's on waiting. So would you share, you know, for the next 2 minutes about that? Because that was really some cool information, I thought.
Yeah, well, albums, they said, you know, back when albums used to sell a lot, you know, you could sell 10 and 20 million copies. You know, Michael Jackson sold 40 million copies. But that hasn't been eventually the case in the 2000s, in this last decade. But now it looks like eventually they can sell 10 million copies, which is great for the music industry. Usher, by the way, has just sold 10,000 copies of his one of his albums, and it met the 10,000 mark, and Adele is approaching 10 million copies. So that's really good news for the music industry, Gail, because now a lot of artists have a chance. I mean, because right now, you know, with all the downloading and all the Spotify and streaming of music, people don't usually buy, they don't usually buy an album. You know, they usually cherry pick. I don't know if you cherry pick through songs. I just want that song, and I just want that from there, and I just want that. So, you know, full complete compilation albums don't sell. And so this is great news to hear now that Adele, which she sold like almost, she's like 9.5 million within her first year, and that's incredible. That's wonderful news. And so I'm just happy to hear that the music industry is on the upcline. They now have a chance to sell. If you make a good album, if you make good products, you have a chance to do it. And Adele has shown that, and so has Usher in his Confessions album. So let's hear it for the music industry. We're making a comeback.
Thank goodness, because I thought for a minute we were gone. We'll have to talk more about that, Jill, offline as well as next week's show, okay?
That's wonderful, okay.
Yes, we really need to get your feedback on that and, you know, the new direction of the industry. It sounds like this is the first time I've really heard you have some optimism about the industry. Am I right on that?
This is the first time, and it's wonderful to hear this because people are starting to buy. And the economy looks like it. Maybe the economy is starting to come up again. You know, people start buying. You know, they want to have part of the artist now. So that's great. And I am very, very optimistic that we're starting to come back.
Oh, thank you, Jay, because when I hear you say that, that sounds really great. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our friend Devendre. Devendre, how are you? I'm so excited to have you back on again.
Hi, Gail. Can you hear me? I'm just testing.
Yes, you're actually live on the radio, Devendre.
Okay, great.
So we're so very happy to have you back on, especially after your show and everything. Oh, wow,
yes.
So great.
It was wonderful to meet you there, and did you enjoy it?
Yes, we surely did. And, you know, Devendre, we are dying to get right into the questions with you. As I'm sure you can imagine. You know, going to your event was amazing. Jay, I wish you could have really been there. It was so great going to the United Nations on that day and being at Devendre's show.
Well, that's wonderful. I wish I could have been there too, so.
Your event was a rousing success for Nelson Mandela Day. Please share with our audience what the focal point of your event was about, Devendre.
Well, it was Nelson Mandela International Day on Wednesday, the 18th of July, and it was held at the UN in honor of the legacy of Nelson Mandela, specifically to celebrate his very humanitarian style of leadership and inspire the audience, which was largely comprised of young leaders as well as many leaders of NGOs who were interested in further developing their own leadership style. And so we had a beautiful audience from really a variety of different backgrounds and cultures doing wonderful service in different fields, all come together to celebrate Mandela's leadership style. And it was also an opportunity for the audience to start to honor the potential within themselves to actually take forward this legacy and carry his vision and his mission forward into the world. We were very fortunate to actually have the Consulate General of South Africa recommend a young leader from within the South African Consulate in New York to come to present on the legacy of Nelson Mandela. Her name was Lebogang Mokoena. She is a young woman. She's just turned 27, and I think it was really appropriate that we had a young South African leader to present on the legacy of Mandela, because the whole aim of the program was about how to take this legacy forward. And there was one comment that she made in her presentation which really struck me, really touched my heart, because she said that what she, as a young person, has taken from the life and legacy and example of Mandela was pride in being a black South African and embracing her own beauty as a human being and not feeling inadequate, that black is not good enough, but having that pride inside of herself that she is equal and that she's capable. And so that was very inspiring. And to complement the legacy of Nelson Mandela, we also had various mature elders from within the community who were promoting the life and legacy of other world leaders to join us, and we gave them an opportunity to showcase and highlight the examples of great leaders like Nelson, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. There was somebody from within the Brahma Kumaris who gave a very beautiful presentation on our senior, who's called Adi Prakash Mani, and she's had such a wonderful impact on us at the Brahma Kumaris in terms of our growth. And there was also a presentation on a very unique leader from Europe that not many people know about, that I recently found out about, and I wanted his example to be showcased. It's a man by the name of Janusz Kocsak. He's late now, but it was actually his writings and reflections and his championing for children's rights that was used as the foundation for the creation of the Convention on the Rights of the Child. And so we had presentations by various people to celebrate these living legends and the legends that have passed and left their example with us. It was really just an absolutely wonderful atmosphere that was created. And actually, I failed to mention that to set the tone of the entire event, we were so fortunate to have with us South African traditional dancers that came all the way from Washington, and that kicked the event off with the South African traditional gumboot dancing and Zulu dancing. And Gail, I'm not sure if you were there for that part of the event, but it just completely transformed the atmosphere. They were so warm and they were so engaging. They got the audience to smile and clap along. And they brought that vibrancy, you know, that South African vibrancy into the room, which is really beautiful. And the event ended off on a very beautiful personal note, because we had a quiet time for reflection where there was an audiovisual presentation that offered a guided meditation for the audience to really go deep into the whole insights that they were listening to previously and have an opportunity for themselves to consolidate what they just heard and to arrive at a personal statement which they wrote down and that they were going to carry forward as their own promise and hope for leadership for themselves in whichever direction they were going in. So I think in essence that was what the program was about.
Well, you know, the other question I have for you, my dear, is, you know, this is a huge undertaking for you, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes, and Gail, you were there with me every step of the way, so you know full well what a huge undertaking it was.
Yes, I was, but I have to say that though I was there and I, you know, supported, you had a lot of people that supported you, but you really had the work, you know, there that you did the work. And you know, I've done events in the past, so has Jay, and we know what it takes. And I would like to ask you something. How did you go about choosing the speakers for this event?
Well, this just a little bit of background about the event. It was actually, I was doing an internship for an NGO, the Brahma Kumaris, at the United Nations, and this was given to me as my project, my major assignment for the time I was there. And I was just asked to design an event that would impact on leadership using Nelson Mandela as an example. And whilst I was researching Nelson Mandela's life and legacy and further going into the details of his leadership, it was an idea that came to mind and crystallized in a matter of a few weeks that it would be much richer if it was broadened in the way of including other legends and leaders. And I was also very fortunate that my time during the internship at the United Nations has allowed me to really be exposed to many different schools of thought, many different bodies of knowledge, many different wonderful people, and, attending sessions, seminars, events. I feel I've been guided, very beautifully guided throughout the whole experience, because it wasn't as if I was having to really go around searching desperately for information. It was almost as if ideas were presenting themselves to me in the form of different interactions, different types of exposure. And so very gradually it all came together. And I was definite about which leaders I was comfortable enough with in terms of them being showcased and highlighted. The actual process of confirming the speaker that would present on the leaders was a little bit challenging. And the Brahma Kumaris is an organization that teaches meditation and inner peace. And so I really made this determined promise to myself that regardless of the fact that I was, sending letters of request to many different people and receiving lots of apologies and lots of people saying that they are unable to present at the program or they're choosing not to present at the program, I just understood it to be almost like a life test for me, and I wanted to stay true to my purpose. And I remember once again you and I having this conversation and holding on to pure intentions. And so it required a lot of perseverance and determination, a lot of emailing, sending off letters, follow-up phone calls. But it was really a magical experience to see how at the end it sort of all came together. And I'm sure you agree with me that the speakers that ultimately did come forward to present at the event were the perfect people for the job. And you could see their faces light up when they were speaking on the different legends. And you could also tell from the dignity and the stability and the maturity that they held themselves with, that they were practical examples of the legends themselves, that they were trying their best in their own sincere way, in their community service and in their personal lives, to walk in the footsteps of the leaders that they were presenting. It was almost like a roller coaster ride, but with a very beautiful ending. If I can put it that way.
Wow. I'd like to get into the question with you, Devendra. One of your speakers, I believe Dr. Cliff Fraser of the Martin Luther King Center of Nonviolence, I wanted to know, why did you choose him as a speaker, and what effect did he have on you?
I actually, because I'm not from South Africa and I'm quite unfamiliar with the resources available in New York, I used the internet as my guide. And so a lot of what I did was web searches. And Cliff Fraser's name came up quite often in terms of a resource based in New York working to promote the legacy of Martin Luther King. And that's the reason why I selected him. I did initially try and make contact with a few professors in different universities in New York who were running programs in their different schools in terms of postgrad and undergrad studies on Martin Luther King, but none of them were available. But as I said, I'm actually very glad that it ended up being Cliff Fraser, because he is really a humanitarian. And it was actually such a pleasure to meet him in person and to have a chance to connect with him on a personal level and to chat with him before and after the program. And I'm sure you agree with me, he spoke with such passion, and what he highlighted was the commonality amongst all of the leaders, and that common thread being the spirit of love that each of the leaders had for the people of the world and how they dedicated their lives because of that love inside. And So that was actually how I connected with Cliff Fraser. It was meant to be, but it was actually the internet that took me to him.
Interesting. I was going to also say,
America. Well, I'm sorry, Jason, I didn't interrupt you there.
Oh, no, go ahead, Gail. I'll wait till you ask your question. No problem.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lee. We're just so excited to have you, Devendra. Neither one of us can know where to go. What effect has this event you've created had on you for the future personally?
You need to repeat that. I somehow just didn't catch what you said.
What effect has this event you created with the Brahma Kumaris University had on you for the future personally?
Well, I think the huge impact for me, Gail, you're probably going to sit up all night listening to me because it had such a huge impact on me. In terms of the design and preparation phase, researching the example of all these leaders, these great leaders, had an enormous effect in terms of my personal transformation. I really, really was so struck by their profound insights and realizations and the stories of their lives, and took many life lessons for myself, which I'm so determined to incorporate on a personal level. Just to sort of quote one example, it was an interview that I read, a transcript of an interview of a journalist with Nelson Mandela, where he was speaking about how he arrived at a point of embracing forgiveness and reconciliation as a method for moving forward and replacing the previous anger and bitterness with forgiveness and reconciliation. And that made a huge impact on me personally because I could see the good sense in what he was speaking about. And it was almost like the wisdom of an elder helping a young person to become more emotionally mature for myself and to learn about other ways of approaching injustice except for fighting. Because I'm sure you're aware that a young person's tendency in terms of approaching injustice is to sort of strike back. And so learning about his beautiful, beautiful insights which he gained whilst he was in solitude in Robben Island and how he came to realize that peace, forgiveness and reconciliation was actually the key and not anger, it really, really made a mark on me. And so I'm just quoting that example, but of each of the leaders that were presented when I was researching their story, you know, I took something very beautiful from it. That was the design and preparation phase. And the impact in terms of the actual preparation, implementation, I think just in terms of my own life skills, organizational skills, communication skills, I really had to step up, especially because working in the UN environment is not anything that I'm familiar with. And so I really learned a lot. I actually even learned a lot from you. You know, you were advising me on how to adjust my letters so that they would become more relevant to the people that I'm sending it to. And so these little things about, actually they're not little things, but the fine details, should I say, about how to actually use these skills in a more effective way, that has made an impact on me. And I think taking those skills forward into South Africa and continuing with the community service I'm involved in there, it's only going to make the service richer and deeper and more successful. I'm quite confident about that. And the other impact that it made on me was an opportunity to actually connect on a personal level with so many different people from so many different backgrounds. The speakers themselves, the volunteers that came forward to assist with the program, the people who were there as participants in the audience, and just on a human level, enjoying that feeling of brotherhood and that feeling of support and encouragement. And also, I think the greatest impact for me was, a greater sense of hope. When I was given this project, I was a bit daunted. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I had no clue who would attend. I didn't know whether we were investing wisely in booking a hall and in, you know, committing resources to the program. And, you know, it was really a step of courage and hope. And when it all materialized and it turned out so well, it really boosted my confidence, I must say, and I left there feeling like anything is possible if you have that determination and if you hold on to your pure intentions.
Yes, this is Jay again. I have a question about the youth. For the young people of Brahma Kumaris University, what effect do you think the event will have on them in their leadership? And what did you see in their eyes?
I think it was a great source of inspiration for them. And it was almost like I didn't intentionally do this, but it seemed as if I was a pioneer on behalf of all the young people in the Brahma Kumaris, and especially the ones that had the fortune of being part of the team there physically. But there were many people, especially back in South Africa and different parts of the world, who connect with me on Facebook. Lots of my friends from the Caribbean, especially Trinidad, were constantly keeping abreast with the progress of the preparations and the project. I had so many messages of good wishes early that morning, and so many requests for feedback thereafter. And I think it was equally empowering for all of them to actually see how something started off from nothing except a pure intention and eventually what it manifested into. And yesterday, you know, I put up the pictures on a few of the photographs on Facebook, and I had a flood of messages come through. And so I think spirituality is a very, very beautiful part to adopt as a young person, but I really feel, being somebody who came into the Brahma Kumaris young as well, that spirituality is not about sitting quietly and passively and just trying to be peaceful, but it's actually an approach that you integrate into your daily living so that you can actually become more effective and more useful and serviceable as a human being. And this entire event, I was quite firm in my resolve to approach it with spirituality, not to get stressed, not to be angry, not to get irritable, just to be hopeful, to be enthusiastic. If something fails, to just pick up and try another route. And so all my friends who were connected with me from the Brahma Kumaris were aware of this. And there was one particular young man who was working with me side by side along the way, who is the Brahma Kumaris UN rep for youth, Shashank Mittal, and he made note at we had a little celebration after the event that was what struck him as a young leader, that he for the first time saw an event being organized and prepared for where there was no negativity, and there were no negative tendencies being adopted whilst everything was going on. And so he said that it gave him a taste of what spiritual service really is all about. I think in terms of leadership, the integration of spirituality into daily activities and practical organizational skills, life skills, all of it coming together is what would really make a remarkable leader.
Wow, this is so wonderful. I mean, it's great that you brought together people of various faiths and cultures. What legacy do you think Gandhi and Nelson Mandela have in common?
What do I think Gandhi and Nelson Mandela have in common?
Have in common, yeah.
Is that the question?
Yes, okay. It is.
I think that they are definitely unique as individuals. But the one commonality that I feel very deeply that they both share is the ability to self-sacrifice, the deep, deep love for humanity, but also the deep love for truth and justice. So much so that they are willing to actually sacrifice their own personal comfort and their own personal glory for the good of the greater cause and the greater mission. Mahatma Gandhi's journey was very much a pursuit of truth. And, you know, there's this whole movement called Satyagraha, which means the pursuit of truth. And it was him who felt that the injustice against the Indian community, especially firstly in South Africa and then especially in India, was something that was unacceptable. And he obviously took the path of nonviolence, which, as you heard the speaker use that word ahimsa, you know, in his presentation, Dr. Arvind Bora. And then Nelson Mandela also completely disapproved and refused to accept the injustice and the indignity that black South Africans were being subjected to. And he really believed in the pride and dignity of being African and was determined and committed to seeing that through till the bitter end. His approach initially was not the same because, you know, he was imprisoned on three counts of sabotage because there was the armed struggle that actually initially happened in South Africa where the freedom fighters actually were using force to try and win back the respect that they felt was being stripped away from them. But ultimately, his journey of personal transformation whilst he was in prison took him to a point of ahimsa also in his own way because he came out of Robben Island a man of peace, an ambassador of peace, calling to the rest of South Africa to actually adopt the way of peace in coming together and to improving to the world that democracy is possible, justice is possible. So I think that's the commonality between both leaders. Different journeys, different backgrounds, but that same spirit, ultimately.
That's wonderful. Moving on to a little bit more, I'd love to know these great leaders, Mandela and Gandhi, what legacy and what effect have they had on you and the things that you're doing today?
Well, I spoke a little bit about the impact that Mandela had on me, but I think that what I can say is that there is potential within each of us, every human being. I don't think any leader is born, you know. It's just somebody who has the courage to hold on to a big vision, a broad vision, somebody who has the inner strength and that inner capacity to hold on to their values whilst pursuing that big vision. And so actually it's possible for each of us to become a leader, but not just a leader of maybe a small family or a little department in some corporate sector somewhere, but a leader in terms of really moving and changing things in society. It only takes one person, and once that person is inspired and has struck the right method, the right approach, the right mindset, they have the capacity to actually start to influence in a very positive way other people, and it could have a ripple effect, and it can move a whole nation, it can move the entire world. And so, you know, I'm not even speaking just of myself, but I think I can speak on behalf of every young person or anyone who has a desire in their heart to see a change in this world. And I think that that's what these leaders have left me with. It's almost a promise for the future that it is possible. At the Brahma Kumaris, you know, we have a slogan that when I change, the whole world will change. And so these leaders have sort of created the impetus for me to really see that it is possible that my change can actually inspire change in the world.
Wow, 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 wow. This is so amazing. Devendra, we thank you so much. Jane and I have one last question for you, Devendra.
Yes, no, sure.
One just is a yes or no, and the other one is really about how this will go with you back to South Africa. So the first question is, will Brahma Kumaris University of the United Nations continue to have events like this for young people?
I really think that they should. Unfortunately, my internship is ending, and I'm returning to South Africa in 2 days' time. However, I think it has set a wonderful tone, and it's really a springboard to much greater things. The Brahma Kumaris youth worldwide are constantly engaging in different activities to inspire young people. And there is actually a project that has been founded by the Brahma Kumaris United Nations for Youth, and that was launched 2 years ago called Spotlight Values. which is to honor the potential within young people to actually access that deep space within that can shine light into the world through their values, and that's the reason why it's called Spotlight Values. And I can see a huge place for Spotlight Values taking off in a new direction now that the hope and promise of leadership has been introduced, and there's a lot of commonality between both projects, and I can see a lot of room for them coming together and moving forward. So I'm quite sure that the NGO representatives of the Brahma Kumaris at the United Nations will not let this opportunity pass, but will definitely want to work on it and build it and take it forward. And we'll be sure to keep you posted on whatever developments, you know,
thank
they
you
are.
So much. And the last question is, you know, we have only a little more time left, but what will you take back to South Africa with you from this entire experience of injury?
Oh, my word. That's such a huge question. But, you know, at this point in time, I really feel so blessed. I feel like I can't stop counting the attainments on a personal level in terms of a huge shift in my awareness, my attitude, my vision, my approach to the world. And then on a practical level, like I mentioned before, the different skills that I feel I had the opportunity to develop and to refine in terms of my work, community work, service.
Hello? I think we lost her, guys.
Yeah, I think she might have clicked off. But it's just wonderful having somebody like this on our show. I just really appreciate her being a guest on here. And I mean, it's very enlightening and just really, really broadened my outlook on things now that she's come over and done all these wonderful things. And just really appreciate you getting her on the show, Gail. I think she's a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Well, what did you think of some of the things that she had to say, Jay?
Well, I like the fact that she's teaching the youth how to be leaders, and she's saying anybody can be a leader. You know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to sit back and just wait for things to happen. You can make a difference, and that's the main thing that she said that really caught my ear, is the fact that we all can be leaders. It's not like, oh, this guy's a leader, so I can't be one because we already have one. We all can be leaders, and not just in our little cubbyholes, you know. So it only takes one person to make a difference. So it was one of the main things that she said that I thought was just great that she shared with our audience.
Yeah, I thought so too. And in fact, that she had so many people of varying faiths that came together, you know, I thought it was amazing. You know, she had, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, she had Dr. Ebonde Makwena, the South African Council in New York. And she told, you know, there's certain things that Dr. Makwena shared that I did not know about Nelson Mandela. And then we had Dr. Arvind Bora, who's from the Multi-Faith Temple in Long Island, who is Indian and spoke about the varying things about Mahatma Gandhi. And we should refer to him as Mahatma Gandhi Ji. So it was just a just amazing group of people there from all varying faiths speaking about this. Patricia Gatling, who is also the New York City Human Rights Commissioner. It was so amazing. And, you know,
it's just hard
to even speak of. It's really hard to speak of.
Right, and I learned from her. I didn't know that South Africa had an Indian community there, and so that's something that's enlightening to me, that South Africa is not just one race. It's like a pretty much a tossed salad where you have a little of everything there, just like America. It's a melting pot. So that's something that I learned.
Well, it's not only a melting pot, okay? It is... So when we talk about the South Africans who weren't allowed in certain places, the white and dark South Africans, it was not the majority of the black and white they were speaking of in South Africa. It was the Indians that mixed in with the South Africans. A lot of people don't know that. You know, I just want to share a couple things. on the day that I had, and I mean, it was a privilege, so it's not like I was here or I was there. It was a privilege to be invited to two places. One, I was invited by the Brahmakumaris University, and the second, I was able to go to Nelson Mandela Foundation, the South African Council. So for me, this was a sheer joy. You have no idea the love that I have for South Africa. Then again, I guess you do, Jay, because we've had a lot of guests on from South Africa. So we're going to today take our audience through a little bit of some of the people that make up South Africa now, like Dr. Konji Sobati, who served as the South Ambassador, the South African Ambassador to Switzerland in 08, and then on to France, and is now in another capacity for the South African government. I mean, this woman is amazing. She stands by the youth of South Africa. She makes a difference in South Africa. So to Dr. Konji Sobati, I met you briefly in 08 with my niece Zaria Brown and in England to the Nelson Mandela Party. And that brief undertaking, yet never did I know that it would lead me to meet your niece, Lira Lerato Morapo, or Lerato Cole, married to Robin Cole, her manager. Lira is a woman that, I must say, that when I first met her, we both connected. She was singing at a conference called MIDEM in 2010. MIDEM is a conference for music and technology and small business. And Jay, during the time I met her, she was talking about the transformation of people. She had a song called Feel Good. And what I was able to find out about Lira is that we have so many things in common. I, as a woman myself, believe in humanity. I believe that people make choices in their life, and they're responsible for those choices. I believe that in life, we as human beings can have everything we want, and that we're interdependent upon each other. Lira is a woman who's not only a South African artist, celebrated, a Sony award-winning music artist. She is a woman who is going to take the world to another level. She is a woman that represents youth. She has poise and respect, and she believes in her country. But what she gets from her country, she brings to each and every person and youth around the world. Lira was at the Nelson Mandela Day for South Africa launching its 46664 fashion show, which is the number of Nelson Mandela's prison number, I believe. If I'm mistaken, please forgive me. South Africa is a country that we can never understand because it's the heartbeat of the world. As China and Asian countries are the manufacturing arm of the world, and the U.S. and Great Britain are kind of the westernization and capitalization of the world, South Africa beats as the heartbeat of the world. Lira has been compared to Miriam Makeba, who was one of the people who was so prolific during the 60s speaking about apartheid. If you hear passion in my voice, because there is passion in my voice, I believe in what South Africa stands for, because I believe that what South Africa stands for is what we all stand for. We've had guests on the show from Timothy Maurice Webster, who is an American man living in South Africa. He's an award-winning, celebrated author with a book called Personization, geared towards the South African people, but affects everyone in rebranding ourselves as human beings. If we've lived our life a certain way, that we can always change it and create it differently. This is so important that we get that as a people in general, that we're all interdependent with one another. We had Gabrielle Carlson, who is the daughter of Joel Carlson, that represented Mandela during apartheid. What we don't know about Joel Carlson is he was forced to leave the country because as a white South Africaner, he believed that everyone was the same. He raised his children. Gabrielle is now an award-winning fashion designer here in New York and all over the world. And she gets her fabrics and everything and her inspiration from her time in apartheid. She had to leave during apartheid. She has never returned to South Africa in 30 years. Along the way, these are some of the most amazing people, and I will share with you the coincidences there. But we're going to go on to Jay. And, you know, Jay, just remembering our guests, you know, you've never met Lira. But Lira is the most amazing woman. She's poised, she's gracious, yet she is very clear who she is as a person, as a human being, and her South African roots. She grew up at a time during Miriam Makeba, listening to Stevie Wonder and Nina Simone, and this is what's moved her Afro music, you know, there. You've never met Dr. Konji Sabati, but that is also her aunt, and a woman who is fiercely respectful of her country and passionate about her country. She helped bring FIFA soccer there, the building of the stadium there. So, you know, between hearing the Dendry and some of the guests that we've had, like Gabrielle, whose legacy has been there, Ralph Simon of Zomba Music, who's gone on to be a trailblazer in mobile technology and is also from South Africa. What are some of your thoughts about some of these people we've had on the show, and where are those? I know she's never been on the show.
I just think it's just great to hear the strength. You know, these people have went through a lot. They bared a lot coming from South Africa, and I don't know if I could have done some of the things they have done there, and being so strong and be able to have perseverance. And I just see they're very persistent, and they bring that to America. They bring that persistence and that strength. We can learn a lot from South African people as they stuck together. They seem to be one country. And as you said earlier, Gail, partnership with these other countries will help the whole globally. You know, when you see a country like that, you see the apartheid, you see how they came through, and you see how they all stuck together, and how Mandela was pretty much in the dark for a lot of years, and he came up and became the president. I mean, that's like a miracle to me, you know. I mean, you come from the bottom of nothing, and now you're the president. I've learned a lot, you know. These people, they're wonderful that we had on our show, and I think a lot of our audience have learned a lot. And from Gabrielle, her father being the lawyer that helped Mandela get out, and it helped the South African people. I mean, it's just a miracle that we had these wonderful guests on our show, and I know all our audience loves to hear all this great information.
What do you think about Miss Lyra? I mean, you know, her music, the way her carriage of herself, you know, you were speaking about the music industry. I think having Miss Lyra, and I have to say Lorato Malapo, having her music here in the United States will send a shockwave through the music industry that you can carry yourself as a gentleman or as a lady and still have prolific music that makes a difference, you know, makes a difference. You know, growing up in apartheid somewhat herself and listening to the music and following that through and having a five-year music plan to make sure that not only was her music delivered, but that her music was making a difference. You know, Miss Lyra, for me, I've worked with Gladys Knight. I have worked with Sony. I've done, you know, work with, been mentored by Barry White. And I have to say that Lyra is up there with the Gladys Knights, the, you know, for me to say Barry White, for me, Barry White, you, this audience may know him as, you know, the man with the deep voice. I knew Barry White as a prolific man. I knew Barry White as a man who could really tell the direction of the music industry and stood up to not take a Grammy when he felt that he should have won it at another time. He was a man of a lot of wisdom that our public did not get to see. He was a very private man, and I feel blessed to have been able to get some of his knowledge at the time that I did under his mentorship. So when I say that Lyra, for me, as a person, reminds me so much of these people that I have worked with, who I have gained knowledge from. Another person is Bubba Knight, the brother of Gladys Knight, Jay. He is a man who holds to his family values and believes in people in general. So, you know, I want to say that Miss Lyra stands for this for me as well. You know, Lyra is a person I met back in 2010, and we've had an acquaintanceship where we see each other at varying times, and we know that, you know, when we connect, we have, our good conversation, but she is a professional at all times. I think she'll take the music industry in a different direction. I think she has a message to take, to say. And so what are your thoughts were about Lyra?
Now, being a producer, I've listened to a lot of her music, and you definitely can hear, her country in her voice. She's like, she would be like equivalent to Whitney Houston in our country, to the South African or the African continent. I definitely can hear the, I can hear the people, I can hear the children crying out, I can hear the experience. But one thing I really noticed is that she always had Mandela as a hero. And when she grew up, she had the experience to sing at his 92nd birthday party. That's like me getting, you know, being able to sing at Bill Clinton's or Obama's or the president's birthday party, and I've always looked up to him. So that, it's, they were meant to be. She's meant to represent her country. And she's going, when she comes here, all of that is coming here, and it's going to take America by storm. I really like the boy.
No, Jay, I'm sorry to tell you, Leah has already taken America by storm. She's been on Global Grind with Russell Simmons. She was at the 466664 fashion show. Leah is here. Not is she taking it by storm. The people are starting to hear about her, but the difference that she's going to make in her music, she reminds me so much of Gladys Knight. It has been a blessing, and I say this to Kenya Love, Gladys's daughter, who I worked with. I say this to former Bill Clinton, former President Clinton, who had the opportunity to work in marketing as a volunteer in his reelection at the time. I've had the opportunity to go to the Clinton Global Initiative. Without these experiences, I wouldn't be the woman that I am today. Most importantly, my mother just passed away. I wouldn't be the woman I am today without my mother, Mary Brown. And I just want to say that because, Jay, the mothers that you and I have, people like Laura, Loretto, Molapo Cole. Okay, I want to say that again. Laura, Loretto, Molapo Cole. A South African woman who's been compared to Mary Makeba. Dr. Koji Sabati. Okay? Joan Carlson, who represented Nelson Mandela. Timothy Maurice Webster. Ralph Simon, these are people who are very stealth in the background, yet make the biggest noise in the world about people and connecting with each other, okay? I mean, you know, it gives me goosebumps when you speak about Lyra singing for Mandiba, okay? It gives me goosebumps because it shows that our dreams can come true, and Lyra stands for that.
Right.
You have worked with some of the most famous people in the world. You wanted to be a producer. Your legacy, your father was a well-known musician. My mom was a single mother who took care of two children. My brother went on to Cornell University. I have relatives who are lawyers and doctors, engineers. I have some that have small businesses that have done well. I have some that just have regular everyday jobs. But one thing, I came from a family that was proud to be who they were and know who they are. And so have you. You know, and one thing I want to say in closing is that you hear the same, some of the same things, but for each person, you know, Joy is going to lead, you know, share what Gabrielle Carlson left for him on our show when she spoke passionately about South Africa and people in general. And Timothy Maurice Webster, who spoke about, you know, change and moving out to South Africa and how you can reinvent yourself even at an older age. So Jay's going to speak to that. I'm going to speak to Ms. Ware and Konji Sabati. Dr. Sabati, to South Africa in general, through this show, I want you to know it was a profound privilege to meet you with my niece at Nelson Mandela's party in 2008 and to see you again in 2010. What you stand for youth, South Africa, what you stand for people, it hits to the core of my heart who you are, Dr. Sabati. You continue to believe in each and every person, and you continue to connect South Africa with each and every person. Nasira, you have become a friend over time. What you're going to bring to America and what you're going to bring to this world, you have no idea yourself. I know that God will pave the way and continue to bless you. And Jay, what do you want to say about Gabrielle Carlson and Timothy Maurice Webster?
They're inspiring people. Just their fight. And they triumph, and I'm just really pleased to have them, having a chance to meet them on our show. And I want to have them as guests again, and I know we soon will. So thank you so much for appearing on our show, Listen Give, and I hope everything is best with you guys. Please come back soon.
Well, Jay, I want to ask you something. What do you remember about Gabrielle Carlson? You remember she was fiery. What do you remember specifically?
I remember colors. I mean, like we talked about colors and how colors played a very important thing when she you know, when she does her creativity. And so I remember how colors affect her personality, and that's what I remember about her. And also about her growing up in South Africa, seeing some of the devastation there and hiding in the house and not being able to come outside and play with some of the other children. And even though she loved the other children, she couldn't be seen with them. And I remember that. And when she came to America and how she got here, and it was, she felt, you know, the color, the clothes that people wore weren't bright enough. And she's here to brighten up America. And that's what I remember mostly about her, how she talked about the colors, how colors make a difference in personality.
You know, I hear the emotion in your voice, and I'm almost brought to tears myself. You know, it's funny that Gabrielle talked about, you know, Gabrielle Carlson is the daughter of Joel Carlson, who represented Nelson Mandela. And Miss Lira speaks about the same thing. Both Gabrielle and Lira always talks about that clothes make the person from the inside out, not from the outside in. When we're having a really bad day, Lira spoke about the difference that clothing can brighten you up and that you're seen by your clothing. Gabrielle Carlson, also from South Africa, talked about clothing making a difference. Well, Joe, right. At the end of our show, and I mean, this has been a really good show. You know, thank you for being our co-host and working together. This show is very passionate for me, as you can hear my voice today.
Yes, wonderful show today. Great.
And for all of you, if you ever want to hear the show, you can hear this show in its entirety at blogtalkradio.com/listengive. So it's available in archive format. Thank you for your time. Goodbye, Jay.
Goodbye.